You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the Tuesday Wire spoke to the head of the Department of Physics at the University of Auckland, Richard Easter, about criticisms of the government's science funding allotments in Budget 2026. The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment reached out to BFM to contest some of these claims. While they provided a written statement, we felt it would be better to discuss the ministry's stance person to person. To address criticisms of the announced changes to science funding models in New Zealand, I spoke to General Manager of Science, Systems and Performance at the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, Danette Olsen. And if we're looking at the science funding reforms that have come out in this budget, what have been sort of the goals of these processes and what is trying to be achieved here?
So we're trying to move New Zealand into a strategy-led science system where government's investment in science innovation and technology is aligned to government priorities about spending taxpayers' money wisely and investing for the future to create impact that will make a difference to our economy, our environment, to our health and wellbeing in our society. So key elements of that are the science investment plan that has been released in the last few weeks, and that sets out those priorities that government is interested in investing in, aligning to four national priorities that relate to economic, environment, social, health and wellbeing outcomes, as well as highlighting the technology for prosperity area, which is an area that New Zealand wants to develop greater capability and skills in relation to science and innovation. Which is a horizontal and a vertical area that contributes to all four pillars, as well as being a standalone pillar in its own right.
And some of the concerns that are being raised are over the Marsden Fund, which had been seen by many as sort of a world-class funding model for science, being respected by some of our international partners as well, looking at long-term research and developing our science infrastructure further down the line. What would be your assurance to people who are worried about the Marsden Fund not being there, at least in name, anymore?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thanks for asking. So the Marsden Fund and the Endeavour Fund have been brought together under a new fund called the Transition Research Fund. It's transitional by name and in nature, so this is a one-year fund as we work our way through the reform program. The board, Research Funding New Zealand, will be thinking about what the future funding system looks like, including the role for basic research long term. But in the short term, the Transition Fund will seek to fund investigator-led research right across the spectrum, from basic research right through to applied research, aligned to those four pillar areas. So there's absolutely space within the Transition Fund for basic research, and I expect that basic research will be supported in the next funding round.
There's also been concerns over the new Technology for Prosperity research pillar, which is pushing $65.8 million New Zealand dollars towards some more short-term goals. I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it seems sort of more commercially oriented, looking towards economic growth and science funding that can boost our engagement in some of these developing sectors. There's been concerns that that is a developing priority as compared to these restructures that are affecting some of our long-term science funding. What would you say to these concerns that it appears that the government is prioritising these short-term investments rather than some of the long-term stuff we've seen previously?
Sure, there's a lot to unpack in there. So first of all, the investigator funds that we're talking about under the Transition Fund is just one set of funds administered by NZ on behalf of government. But that does fund long-term research. It's not about funding research that will deliver impact tomorrow. It is about longer-term impact that will realise value for New Zealand. And so there's absolutely space in there for research that's going to deliver value in the next 10, 15 years. What the government is looking for is to get greater impact from research. And so if you think about the whole science and technology space, there are other initiatives around funding long-term research as well. So we have a fund called the Strategic Science Investment Fund that funds long-term research in areas of Antarctic science, hazards, infectious diseases, RNA technology development is a few examples. It also supports the Crown Research Institutes, which have now moved into public research organisations, to support research in their areas around the bioeconomy, around health, around the environment. So you need to look at all of the funds together as a collective rather than the individual funds.
And on the funds together as a collective, one of the bigger criticisms, and we've seen this developing over recent years, not just under this government, but also sort of from that COVID period, one of these criticisms has been that our science funding as a percentage of GDP is lower than many of the other comparable countries. We have 1.5% of our GDP spent on R&D compared to the OECD average of around 2.6%. And it's been advised that the government increase this funding and that advice has been rejected. Are there any plans to increase our science funding going forward, or why are we not, if not?
So the amount of money that's allocated to science across government is decisions that get made by cabinet, not by ministries. So you'd have to ask a minister that question.
In terms of the allocation, though, I mean, the ministry will have some impact on how the government views this advice and providing information there. Is the ministry looking for more funding from the government?
Advice would be that investing in science is a good investment to make for New Zealand's future. The things that you will have heard the minister say publicly is that we want to get the system working well first, and so the reform program is around setting up a New Zealand science system that will take us forward for the next 30 years. And I think once we've worked our way through the reform program, then ministers will be able to consider whether or not that's an appropriate investment for them to make when they're having to juggle all the other choices that they have to make around government spend across police and education, health and everything else.
In that first interview, there was mentioned a claim that reforms are being implemented by stealth. What's your response to that, the idea that sort of these changes are being done quietly as compared to maybe some other budget announcements, but also some other changes within the science funding sector?
Sure. I feel like we've worked really hard to try and make this really visible. So when the government came in and embarked on this program, set up the SAG committee led by Sir Peter Gluckman, they talked to a range of people around the sector, and that resulted in a couple of reports. Those were published, public documents. That led to the creation of the Prime Minister's Council. That council prepared a report which was released publicly. And that report has largely been reflected in the Science Investment Plan that was then published. At each stage of the process along the reform program, we've had webinars and stakeholder newsletters trying to communicate as much as possible around the reform program. Yesterday we had another webinar where we talked about the Science Investment Plan and the Transition Fund. So there are lots of areas where we've been communicating those changes along the way. And if someone is feeling that they're missing out, we've got a stakeholder alert on our website that they'd be very welcome to sign up to, and that way they'll get all the information as it comes to hand.
I wanted to talk about the people in charge of these kinds of decision-making processes as well. There's a bit of a perception, at least in the science sector from some people, that the decisions are more being made by elected officials with limited experience in science and in science funding rather than experts within the sector. Is there weight to that claim? How much of the decision-making is being distributed between these elected officials with less experience and some of our experts who are unelected?
I think that's been a criticism for a while, and it was behind one of the recommendations in the SAG report to create Research Funding New Zealand as an independent decision maker around funding allocation. So MB's role there is to run the secretariat and run the processes, but Research Funding New Zealand is very much in the driving seat. So the design and policy settings around the Transition Fund, for example, was on the basis of Research Funding New Zealand's advice directly to the minister. The minister accepted that advice and issued a gazette notice, an investment plan. That board is made up of people who have worked in the research sector or in the commercial sector using research for commercial outcomes. We've got some really well-regarded researchers on that group. The other thing I would say is that when Research Funding New Zealand goes to make decisions around funding, for example, in the Transition Research Fund, they'll be drawing on international and domestic peer reviewers. They may be establishing expert panels to assist with that process, again, drawing on knowledge within the science community. They're also charged with developing pillar investment plans, which will be the strategy documents that inform future funding decisions. And those documents are being prepared by pillar advisory groups, which are made up from a range of people within the sector, including researchers. The Prime Minister's Council also had a number of researchers on it. So Sir Peter Gluckman is on that group. Dr. John Roche, who's the Prime Minister's Chief Science Advisor and the Chief Science Advisor for the Ministry of Primary Industries, is on that group. And so we've already got quite a bit of expertise coming in at different levels of the system right through the decision-making process.
You mentioned these bodies, the Research Funding New Zealand Independent Board, the advisory groups and the Prime Minister's Council. Who's in charge of appointing the new members to these? Is it a voted-on process? Is it one individual? How does that work?
These are cabinet processes, so a minister takes a set of recommended names to cabinet, and cabinet agrees. For Research Funding New Zealand, we ran an open recruitment process. I think we got over 200 applications for membership and chair position, and then that was shortlisted, and I think we had over 25, 30 interviews before providing names to the minister, who then took those names through the cabinet. So that's a pretty standard process. That's how people get appointed to boards of various state-owned enterprises and crown companies and crown entities right across the system.
That was General Manager of Science Systems and Performance at the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, Danette Olsen, speaking to me about criticisms of the government's new science funding model.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.